All right, good to have you with us right here. Hour number two kicking off. Just a quick note, Gabe Davis back with the Buffalo Bills. Going to start off on their practice squad. The Commanders worked out Kendrick Bourne today, wide receiver veteran who worked out for the 49ers yesterday. No word on yet on whether they will sign him or not. Obviously, again, he made it out of San Francisco yesterday after working out for them and was scheduled to work out today. But again, no media is allowed there. He was with New England and again, worked out, for the 49ers. Now, according to Matt Maiocco, they made a formal offer, did the 49ers. However, they did not reach an agreement. So you have that. Now, the Commanders did sign somebody today, a free agent offensive guard named Darian Dalcourt, to the practice squad, according to Jeremy Fowler. He was with the Ravens practice squad last year. So we await word on Kendrick Bourne. He's been around. He is 30. It's not like he's a spring chicken by any means. And we know that they have some questions, of course, about their receiver spot, specifically the back end. We don't know, again, whether they're going to have five actives on Sunday or not. It'll depend. I assume they will, right? And I assume the best way to use Luke McCaffrey is to not just count on him as a receiver, but to use him as a kick returner and then sprinkle him in as a receiver as well. But Bourne last year with New England, 28 catches, 38 targets, 305 yards, just one touchdown, a 10-9 average. And in his career, Kendrick Bourne has 22 career receiving touchdowns, averaging 12.7 per reception. So, again, a guy that can help you a little bit more than a K.J. Osborne, a little bit more than a Michael Gallup did, certainly down the stretch last year for Osborne, even during training camp. This year, Gallup just during training camp, as they both got whacked, maybe more than Ja'Cory Brooks, who's a rookie. And maybe he doesn't even make the team. Maybe he doesn't even get signed. But I guess the 49ers saw something in him. And here's a little something that I didn't realize. The way the story goes is, I didn't realize this was on the same day. The Patriots cut Bourne last week, right? And that's because they signed Tommy Cutlets. That's right. Tommy DeVito. They released Bourne because they tried to trade him. He initially made the 53, but they couldn't make a trade, so they just then released him. All right, so there you go. Back to the phones we go. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Paulie to get us going here in our number two. He wants to yell at me about something. I don't know what it is, but Paulie, go right ahead.
Hell to the W, man. What's going on, Rufio?
What's going on, Pauly? It's football week, man.
What you doing with wearing your Giants underoos, coming up here trying to inflict loser talk? Somebody trying to hear that, man.
Giants underoos. Pauly, when was the last time you think I wore underoos?
Do we have to think about this?
This morning, obviously.
This morning.
Obviously, it was this morning.
Yeah.
Talking all this Giants talk.
That's true.
That's true.
God forbid somebody around here knows something about the opponent. I forgot we're not allowed to talk about the opponent.
Not you. But anyway, y'all act like we didn't play these dudes twice last year, Sabah. Malik Davis not going to drop a pad. Oh, you forget about the second game. We methodically dominated them.
Yeah,
I'm not worrying about Thibodeau or Burns or Abdullah Carter. I mean,
He's the number three overall pick in the draft.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
I mean, Chase Daniels is number two
okay.
In the draft.
All right,
there's a bunch of names right now. The only guy that strikes fear to me is Dexter Lawrence.
Okay.
That's
the only guy.
Interior.
So you're not worried at all. That is the dumbest thing. That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said, Paulie. In a sea of dumb, that you're not worried about Abdul Carter. That you're not worried about Abdul. Can we just shut up for 1 second? That you're not worried about Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, or Brian Burns. You're only worried about Dexter Lawrence. Come on, that's dumb.
About a player who has no hours in the league. Right now, he's all hype and a name and a draft pick. Mm-hmm. And them other two guys underachieved last year. Or did we just nullify them with good play? And we got a quarterback who's not a statue. Okay, thank you, man. What we need to worry about is, one, Dexter Lawrence, and two, is our defense versus their offense. That's what we need to worry about. We need to make Russell Wilson look old like he looked in the playoffs last year. We're begging him to go to Dart. I'd rather have him in there than Russell. That's it. You got to get Russell Wilson out of the pocket and get him down to the ground when he gets out of the pocket. That's what we have to do. Plus of Russell Wilson. Because Russell Wilson, you talking about Daniel Jones being a Washington killer? Well, Russell Wilson has a little history of that, too. Seems to play well against us. Like I said, we just got to make him look old. But as far as being scared about the pass rushes they got, like, come on. We played these dudes last year. Okay, they added the homeboy there. Okay, whatever, man. We added Larry Tunsil, and we added a number one pick at tackle in the draft, too, man. Don't come up here with this loser talk because you a Giants fan trying to make me feel scared.
Right. So that's logical, right? That's based purely on loser talk because I grew up a Giants fan because I grew up on Eastern Long Island, right? It has nothing to do with the game. I mean, don't even worry about Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Abdul Carter. Two top five picks. Don't even worry about them because we beat them once last year and dominated them once last year in a game at MetLife Stadium. Once.
Get it right.
Without Abdul Carter.
Far as the running back go, running back by committee, doesn't matter who starts. As long as Eckler don't get the bulk of the carries because he's one hit, one concussion away from his career being over. Other than that, until somebody separates themselves in that backfield, and that's going to be between Rodriguez and Bill, because they're the ones that got the every down back build. You know what I mean? Between those two, until somebody separates themselves, it's going to be running back by committee. If they only play three back, Bill's going to have to sit. Just like I said about Abdul Carter, Rodriguez, you actually got some NFL hours underneath his belt. All right? And I ain't trying to risk that with a rookie guy. You don't know. He ain't took a real NFL hit yet. We don't know about his ball security yet. So you got to ease him in there. Maybe he get, like, if he do play, give him like 5 to 10 carries if he's hot.
Oh, it sounds like I do actually know what I'm talking about, huh?
No, you never know what you want to talk about, man. You talking this Giant stuff. I ain't trying to hear that this week, man. You can just call AMAC up and y'all two had that conversation. I love you, man. Hail to the W.
Thank you, Paulie. Bye. I mean, at least he said I love you at the end. I mean, after trashing me for, God forbid, having a different opinion. God forbid actually knowing something about the opponent instead of being on my knees going to everything that the burgundy and gold do. It's called the healthy respect for the opponent. Healthy respect for a dangerous caged animal at this point. Because you know they are. They know. And maybe it doesn't matter to them because Dable's a pain in the ass. But they know Dable and Shane are getting blown out midway through the year if things go wrong. They know. Stevie Ray is in Baltimore at 301-230-0980. What's up, Stevie Ray? How are you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know whether it's better to go before Paulie or after.
Well, you know, if you go after, you can clean up the mess, the dribble that's all over the floor.
It's real simple, and here's the thing. Is Paulie talks in absolutes. I talk about that all the time. This guy can't do this, and this person ain't going to do that, and this and this and this. He don't know. He don't know. He just talks in absolutes, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. Nobody knows. Nobody knows until the game's played. So as far as what's going to happen on Sunday, I want to get to something else. I had a hole-in-one today.
Oh, how about that? You've already golfed an entire round?
I sure did. Now I'm home and getting ready to go pick up my grandchildren from school.
Attaboy. Good for you. What hole, what course?
Okay, number 17 at Fairway Hills Golf Course in Columbia, Maryland.
Attaboy.
115-yard pitch and wedge.
Good for you. Congratulations, ma'am. That is, I can tell you this. I've been on planet Earth for 51 years. I've golfed. I took a golfing class in college 33 years ago, 32 years ago. Right. I golfed a couple of holes in my life. And outside of that, I have never touched, outside of a miniature golf club. I've never touched, or at Top Golf.
What I'm going to tell you.
I've never touched a golf club, and I've never been on a course, and I've never golfed even close to a round.
Don't, because if you don't love it, don't play it.
Well, I don't.
It is too frustrating a game for anybody who doesn't love it.
And it's expensive, man. It's expensive. Plus, my fear also would be, A, that I would get addicted to it, and I don't need any addictions. Two, my fear is I would be the one that gets into a fight with somebody on the golf course because I'm taking too long.
You don't get into fights. You just I'm the guy in my league, if somebody's a slow golfer, they put me with them so that I could teach them how to play faster. Mm. I worked at Hobbits as a ranger for 10 years.
Gotcha.
So I kind of have a little idea about how to speed people up.
Gotcha.
I want to get into something else.
Yep.
So I'm driving on George Avenue the other day, and there's a lady in front of me with Florida State. This was Sunday. And she's got Florida State stuff all over her car, and I pull up next to her and roll down my window and ask her to pull the window down. And I looked at her, and I go, "Thank you very much." And she looks at me like, "Where did you go to school?" And I said, "LSU."
Mm.
"Thank you for beating Alabama." And she looks at me and goes, "Thank you for beating Clemson."
Little help for both, no doubt about it. Well, that Florida State game, listen, that Florida State game, right? I mean, first of all, Castellanos, I mean, for him to say what he did in the offseason, which was big news, and then to back it up, and he didn't throw the ball all over the yard. It's not like he had a 300-yard pass, but the combination of early on in the first half, some accurate throws, and then running throughout, and more important, the leadership and the energy that he and that home crowd provided, and then the sleepiness that Alabama showed basically from minute one of the game, again, is what led to that.
I appreciate that, Chris, but I want to talk about LSU, which is where I went to school, and how Nussmeier looked in our game, how our defense looked in that game. Clemson was good. Everybody picked Clemson to win that football game, and we walked in to the hostility of Tiger State of Death Valley.
Tiger Stadium.
And walked into there with those people, and they were frothing at the mouth.
Yep.
And we walked in and handed it to them.
Yep.
And our defense played great. Nussmeier played great. And that touchdown was a touchdown.
Right.
Take that thing away.
It should have been an even more impressive a win, and ultimately it was taken a little bit away from them. But thankfully,
absolutely,
it didn't cost them
absolutely
the game.
Absolutely. We're going to win Sunday. How we're going to win, I don't know, but we're going to win.
All right.
That's it.
There you go, Stevie Ray. Congratulations on the hole-in-one, baby. Appreciate you. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey on line one. What's up, Mitch? How are you?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
What's up, Mitch? What's going on?
I said Chris Rodriguez. Hope he does well. He's my kind of like biggest concern. But I got to say the Giants did a great draft. Don't forget Seattle, Abdul Carter, and Jackson Dart. They should trade Russell Wilson. I don't think he'd get a first-round pick, I guess.
Well, you said that last week. You said that last week. Remember when you said they were going to trade Russell Wilson?
I think that was you, right? James Winston, which I heard his little brothers was signed with Florida State.
Yeah,
he won 5'10", 160.
Yeah,
better
but Jameis Winston's biggest issue right now is he might not even be in uniform on Sunday. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe they, you know, maybe they go back to Jameis Winston as the number two. But for right now, at least publicly, they're listing Jackson Dart as the number two. And listen, he played great in training camp and preseason. So that very well could be the case. He's earned it. And that means he's just one snap away from playing in his NFL debut on Sunday, too.
You know, I love him. He's a USC guy. And speaking of college football, I love week zero, week one. USC just showed, I think, they have a lot of talent, especially at tailback, the two wide receivers, the main ones, the two quarterbacks. But one quarterback I want to mention, Fernando Mendoza, California, let him go. He's going to be a first-round pick. They got this freshman from Hawaii, Jaren.
Maivia.
That is no name. Jaren. Oh, my God. Saga Pulutili.
Oh, I have no
idea. I believe that's how you say his name, Hawaiian. He had a great game.
No idea.
He's got the height. All right. Well, yeah. I still have to say Aaron Rodgers is the best Cal quarterback, even though I really don't like the guy.
Well, Tom Brady said apparently he's the best throwing quarterback of all time or something like that about Aaron Rodgers.
I guess
he's never
seen Steve DeBerg.
Yeah, there you go.
He's never seen Steve Berger or James Williams. Thanks for taking my call.
There you go. Thank you, Mitch. Always an odyssey with Mitch. He's always an odyssey. He makes me laugh. He's all over the place. Mitch brings up the most obscure names of the world and expects me to know. I don't even know who he's talking about. I have no idea. All I know is Maivia, the kid quarterback for USC, 15 of 18, 295 and 2. Now Missouri State stinks, but you get the point. USC won 73 to 13. Yeesh. Yeesh. How about Doc's Bruins getting dominated by Utah? The Utes. Did you say Utes? Running up a 43-burger, 43-10 over Deshaun Foster's UCLA Bruins. Hey, at least they can't blame it on Eric Bieniemy anymore. He's not there anymore after just one failed year. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. When we return, more of your calls. And I'm going to start getting into this projected box score. PFF's got all sorts of cool analytics and numbers and whatnot. I just want to kick around some of them before I get too far. Then we'll get into week one of the NFL. We'll continue talking a little college football as well, sprinkled into the mix. Maybe a thought or two on James Wood and the Nationals. All the analytics amigos, unite. Celebrate the fact that your guy leads the world in strikeouts on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Also, we're streaming live on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, good to have you with us right here on a Tuesday afternoon, heading towards 2:30, and then ultimately heading towards the finish line of 4 o'clock. I assume it's Linnell? I did not check the schedule, but I know it is Linnell. Okay, at 4 o'clock for Burgundy and Gold today. I'm sure he'll have a couple of fancy, snazzy show themes and topics like Burgundy and Bold. I heard that last week. Linnell's always good at creating ripping off monikers from people. I'm just teasing. Just teasing. Just having a little fun with my friend. All right, so a couple of things that I wanted to get into from a projected box score standpoint, right? Yeah. They actually have these. I'm sure you've seen them before, but I don't usually spend a lot of time, but I was kind of looking at different creative things that I could add to the show this year, right? And I thought, okay, if PFF is going to do this, well, we should say spend some time, because at the very minimum, it's good for conversation, good for fodder. You get kind of an idea in your head, and you kind of think, okay, if they're thinking that, then maybe I'm missing something, or maybe I need to do a little homework on this, or maybe this might happen, or let's see how close they are, what have you. So they have a projected box score for this week for the Giants and the Commanders, as they do for each and every NFL game. And they came up with, just from a Washington perspective, right? Here are the numbers. Jaden Daniels, 22.2 out of 31.2 in terms of attempts to completions to attempts. So basically 22 completions, 10 incompletes. 225 and a half yards, an average of 7.2. 1.4 passing touchdowns. So almost one and a half. A half an interception. And again, this is like average metrics, all that stuff. And 2.9 sacks, which again leads into what we were talking about, right? And listen, if you don't listen to Paulie is out of his gourd when he says he's not worried about anybody but Dexter Lawrence, not worried about Abdul Carter, not worried about Kayvon Thibodeau, not worried about Brian Burns, out of his mind. Out of his mind. He is right about Dexter Lawrence. But I don't know what Dexter Lawrence we're getting. Are we getting dominant Dexter Lawrence, or off the bad injury last year at the end, are we getting recovering, rehabilitating, winded, not as spry Dexter Lawrence? I assume the good one or the dominant one, and that's a problem for Tyler Biadasz and that interior line. And we had Brandon Coleman on last week, and that was the name he mentioned, obviously. Is Dexter Lawrence. Everybody, I think, knows about Dexter Lawrence, but whatever. All right, so here's the deal. Again, 2.9 sacks. Look at that and say, all right, so they have Bill as the leading running back in terms of attempts at 10 carries even, 38.8 yards, an average of 3.9, and 0.3 of a touchdown. How they come up with this, I have no idea. I mean, you know, it just is what it is, right? Now they have Jaden Daniels at 9.4 attempts. Okay? And for 48.7 yards. So if that is accurate, Jaden Daniels essentially would count for about 275, just shy of 275 yards of offense. Right? 9.5 carries, 48 and let's just call it a half yards. And again, this is just projections, okay? And they put him down for 0.3 of a touchdown, a 0.3 on the touchdown. So I don't know if that means he would get a touchdown. I have no idea. They have Chris Rodriguez Jr. at 6.3 carries, 28.1 yards, 4.4 average. So a higher average than Bill. But under this model, 3.7 less carries than Bill. I see it the opposite way. Again, even if Bill is even active, and people are going to say, what are you talking about? Bill not active. Listen, I'm not telling you he will or he won't be. I'm telling you if they only activate three, which is what they did almost all, if not all of last year, Bill's going to have to sit. That's what I'm telling you. And at least the way I see it. I'm not telling you that that's going to happen. I'm hoping that they have four running backs and they can figure it out and have a tandem of Bill and C-Rod and wear the Giants the hell out. But I can't tell you I know that, or I can't tell you what they're absolutely going to do. I can tell you what they did all of last year and what they didn't do, which is have four running backs active. I don't think there was one single game that they had four running backs active. Maybe there was one. I can't even remember it, to be honest with you. But I know by the normal amount. Now, again, part of the problem was Brian Robinson didn't really help you on special teams, right? So these guys can't. So, like, hopefully, all four are active. This way, you don't have to have Bill sitting. But if they're only going to do three, the way I see it is Bill's going to sit for week one. Now, that might be different in week two, but that's the way I see it. Eckler, 4.1 carries, 16.2 yards, whatever. Debo, 1.3 carries for 7 yards. Okay, that's really the important number there. In terms of receiving, they've got 7 targets for Terry McLaurin, 4.6 catches, 60.3 yards. 13.1 average, and 0.4 touchdowns. Debo, 5.5 targets, 3.9 receptions, 45.7 yards, an average of 11.8 and 0.2 touchdowns. Zach Ertz, 4.4 targets, 3.3 catches, 30.2 yards, an average of 9.1 and 0.3 on the touchdown mark. Noah Brown, 3.6 targets, 2.3 catches, 22.1. So basically what I'm getting at, and there's more after this, Eckler had a couple of catches. Jalen Lane had 1.5 catches for 18.1 yards. Bill had 1.5 catches. Sinnott had 1.2 catches. McCaffrey had a catch, so on and so forth. Okay. But here's what I'm trying to get at. And obviously, they had all four running backs active in this particular case, but they don't pay attention to this like we have to pay attention to it. Here's what I'm saying. I do believe you are going to see a lot of box scores like this. Here's what I mean by that. I think Cliff Kingsbury, I think this offense, if there's going to be one thing if there's going to be one thing that I think they're synonymous for, besides Jaden being Jaden and one of the best, God willing, he can stay healthy. Besides that, and yes, they will be, I think, more very efficient, good plus to very good, instead of explosive, dynamic, great, all of that stuff, all the hyperbole that people talk about. But I think you will get a lot of box scores that will drive fantasy players freaking nuts this year. I think you'll get a lot of spread. And what I mean by spread, I don't mean spread formation, although you'll get plenty of that. What I mean is you're going to get a lot of spread numbers. You're going to get seven or eight guys catching balls as opposed to one or two or three or four. You're going to get guys in the 60s, maybe one in the 70s, and occasionally you'll have the bigger day, Terry, maybe Debo. But you're going to get how many different guys touching the ball? And if the run game is clicking, you're going to have even less opportunity for wide receivers and tight ends to make plays. Remember, they were more reliant on Zach Ertz down the stretch and Terry McLaurin down the stretch because the running game was so inconsistent. And they were trying, obviously, to alleviate some burden from Jaden. But I think you are going to see a lot more fantasy numbers, over, and more unders, and more balance, and more depth, and more, hey, they don't really know the defense who to zero in on. Because this guy can hurt you one day, and this guy can hurt you the next day. And on one drive, it might be a Noah drive. And on the next drive, it might be a Zach Ertz drive. And then they might throw to Austin Eckler a couple of... You see where I'm getting at? Where you don't know who to bet on for overs, where you don't know who, if anybody, to start on your fantasy roster outside of Jaden, and maybe Terry, maybe Ertz. But my point being is a lot more spread throughout the roster. And that's not exactly a bad thing. That's not exactly a bad thing. I will finish that up and that thought up on the other side. Plus, we'll get to some projected numbers for the G-men. I don't have any projected numbers for defense. I wish they had them. Maybe they'll add them later on during the week. We'll see. I've never really seen this before, this feature, but I just stumbled across it, so I wanted to spend some time on. I want to add it to the show just to give you a little bit of an idea of what the analytics, what the experts, what the computers and all that are saying on a week in, week out basis. All right, coming back on the Team 980 after a trending alert right here, right now, about halfway home on a Tuesday afternoon right here on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, the Nationals broke a long losing streak last night. They try and make it two in a row against the Fish, the Miami Marlins, who are in town for a set after yesterday's 2-0 shutout win by the Nats. Kate Cavalli on the mound as he goes for win number two on the year. ERA up to 5.11 after a rough start in New York. James Wood struck out a couple more times yesterday. He is hitting 257 with 26 home runs and 84 RBI, but certainly has struck out a bunch here in the second half of the season. Elsewhere, the Cowboys dealing without Micah Parsons after dealing Micah Parsons. He said his first choice was to be a Cowboy. He wanted to stay in Dallas, but they couldn't make the deal work. He was planning to play all along, said his agent this morning on First Take on ESPN. He will play, meaning Parsons, perhaps with an epidural in his back, the injured back that we heard so much about late in camp in the preseason in game one for the Green Bay Packers this Sunday against Detroit. Don't forget, that's the Thursday night week two opponent. Meanwhile, from college football, no surprise here, the Ohio State Buckeyes are the new number one team in the AP Top 25 after beating number one Texas on Saturday in Columbus. LSU, Miami, up into the top five. Penn State up to number two. LSU is at three. Miami at five, with Georgia going from five to four. As far as Texas, they drop all the way from number one to number seven. Notre Dame is from six to 9, and South Carolina cracks the top 10 after beating Virginia Tech this past Sunday in Atlanta. And that's what's trending. All righty, we're on the Team 980, more than halfway home on this Tuesday afternoon. Good to have you with us. We don't have any guests scheduled today, but we have a bunch of feelers out. I'm expecting to have a commander on later on this week, but we will let you know as soon as we know what the deal is as we try and get ready for week number one in the NFL, which begins on Thursday night and then, of course, in earnest on Sunday. But I would also say this, because the NFL can't shove its product down your throat enough, you've also got a Friday evening game in Brazil between Kansas City and the L.A. Chargers, a good old AFC West battle, including two featured opponents of the Commanders this year, both on the road. Sports Talk on the Team 980 is presented by our friends at Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday and watch it on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Why don't you visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And I can tell you this, their rollout, much better than ESPN. I can just tell you that. A lot of people with ESPN app issues, including your boy, over the weekend. We were all trying to watch college football on that old ESPN app, and it sucks. Anyway, there was a mess. Still trying to figure it out. And whether you got to pay for it, whether you don't have to pay for it, if you have cable TV, if you sign in here, if you sign in there. Oh, what a disaster. Just technology is wonderful, but it's also a disaster at times. All right. So let's get back to this real quickly that I wanted to kind of circle back on. So I asked you the number one running back should be. I think it should be Chris Rodriguez. I don't even know if Bill's going to be active again. That depends on whether they go three running backs, which is what they did most, if not all, of last year. Again, I say most because I don't remember a game where they had four, but there may have been a game because of an injury concern that they had four. So I don't want to say absolutely they never went with four, but almost every game, if not every game, was three running backs and only three running backs. Now, part of that, again, could be because Brian Robinson was, when healthy, still the lead back, and they slightly preferred him over Chris Rodriguez for whatever reasons they had, and they were trying to make it work, and it didn't work, as we know. And also, Brian Robinson could not help them on special teams, whereas all four of these running backs could help you on special teams. Now, you don't want Eckler out there returning kicks. You don't. We know that's a disaster, even though he had a big kick return for a touchdown that was wiped away by a cheesy holding call on Nick Ballore in week two last year. Remember, that was after that was the play that Graham Gano got hurt on. So you have that. Now, PFF has in their projections, right, they have Austin Eckler as having 48 yards worth of returns. Now, I assume that's kick returns, right? They have Luke McCaffrey at 25 and a half. And they have Jalen Lane, I assume that's all punt returns, at 15.7 yards per return. They have Matt Gay at 1.8 out of 2.1 field goals. Again, have no idea how they come to these numbers, but this is just, again, an inside projected box score. You know how this stuff works, right? It doesn't exactly make sense. It's not like, you know, oh, he'll make one field goal for three field goal attempts. No. They don't do it that way. It's all based on mathematics, analytics, what have you. So you just got to deal with some of the unevenness. And they've got 2.4 out of 2.5, whatever that means, in terms of kicking. For the New York Giants, just real quickly, of course, they have Malik Nabers with 9.5 targets, 6.5 receptions, 72.8 yards, and a half a touchdown. You've got a couple of other guys I would look out for, and maybe I'm a little higher on him than I should be, the young tight end Johnson. Out of Penn State, is it Ty Johnson? I think it's Ty Johnson. I drafted him in both of my fantasy leagues over the weekend and on Sunday, including Theo Johnson, not Tyler Johnson, Theo Johnson. I drafted him in both of my leagues late round just as a backup tight end. I think he and his size, and he had a touchdown against the Giants, against the Commanders last year. I think he could hurt them a little bit. We don't know what Will Harris exactly is in coverage, although I think he's a lot better in coverage than most in the media have given him credit for. And I've talked to him several times about that on this show. We've had him on a couple of times. He's got better range, in my opinion, way better range than Jeremy Chinn. I don't know if he's as good of a tackler as Jeremy Chinn. I don't know if he's as good of a run stuffer as Jeremy Chinn. And I don't know if he's the physical hit stick that Jeremy Chinn is. But I tell you this, he's better in coverage. And they don't need Jeremy Chinn's physicality, in my opinion, if Will Harris gives them an upgrade, a boost in coverage and range, because Quan Martin is the physical hit stick, who also can run and cover. Now, I think Quan, you know, is better being asked to cover tight ends leaking out, running backs leaking out, short receiver type stuff. I don't know if you want him trying to be a pencil eraser, but Will Harris, I think, has the ability and the savvy to do some of that. I'm not saying he's lights out Earl Thomas. I'm not saying that, obviously. But I think he's better than anybody they've really had in that position to be that potential single high center field safety. Again, I don't know if you want to have him do that a lot and expose him that way and have him have the whole field to range and roam, but I think he's better at that than anybody they've had down the pike here in a while in terms of that particular role. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, you don't, again, want him to have to do that all game. You don't need to do that all game. If you tackle well, if you control the run, you don't have to stop the run. But you know this, Russell Wilson ain't running. I mean, he's scrambling, but he's not running like he used to. You know that. Tyrone Tracy is somebody that you shouldn't get ambushed by, right? Tyrone Tracy, PFF lists him as having a 1% chance to get over 100 yards. They list him as having the range of 10 to 44 yards. If you have Tyrone Tracy as their lead back have less than 45 yards, let's just call it that, you're winning. I think you're winning. Unless Cam Scatabo busts one, which maybe, but I think you're winning. If you can do that, run defense-wise, and put Russell Wilson in that giant offensive line who might not have Andrew Thomas, on the left side, who's always hurt. Great, but always hurt. Then you can put that giant offense in second and long, third and long, create a takeaway, get off the field on third down, get some momentum for your offense, get some good field position. If you get ambushed by a pedestrian run attack, you know what the storyline is going to be even on a short week. Oh, my gosh. What's his name? Josh Jacobs coming up in Green Bay, week two, short week, on the road. Oh, Ashton Jeanty, Raiders, week three. Bijan Robinson, week four, at Atlanta. You get the point, right? Going to be tough. So it is really important to set the tone in that way for the Commanders in week one from a defensive perspective on Sunday to force the Giants and to force Russell Wilson. Not that he can't beat you because he can still throw a pretty ball, pretty deep ball. But you have to think that you're better on the islands than you were last year. Certainly better than you were entering week one. My goodness, think about it. Last year, entering week one, Emmanuel Forbes, Benjamin St. Juste, and Michael Davis were three of your top five corners. Think about that. Think about how different and how much better you are. Even if Marshawn Lattimore is not your cup of tea, and he's looked great during camp for the most part, the thing for me is not whether he can play. It's whether he can stay on the field. And so far, through training camp, I don't know what he's done, but he stayed on the field. Now, does that change starting in week one? I don't know. But the Commanders probably are going to have to win this game largely, largely with their defense. This is an offense that can hurt you, but shouldn't destroy you. The question is whether you can force that one turnover that you need in a big spot, whether you can get off the field on third down in that big spot, whether you avoid the big coverage breakdown like St. Juice had the last time Russell Wilson was a quarterback for Pittsburgh, granted, against Mike Williams, who's now retired, late in that Pittsburgh game. Can you avoid that late breakdown? Can you get that late turnover? Can you force second and nine instead of second and four? See, that was another thing. Last year, the Commanders, way too often, 6-7 yards on first down. Way too often. You open up the entire playbook to somebody, and somebody as smart as Dable is going to be able to pick you apart on second and three versus second and nine or second and 10 or even, God forbid, second and 11. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. All right, so we discussed the projected box score, the number one main back. Again, I think it'll be Chris Rodriguez. When we return, I wanted to touch on how important special teams is going to be in this game. We've already kind of alluded to it, but we'll hone in on it just a little bit more as we approach week one in the NFL. And we look inside the Giants and the Commanders, week one at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Of course, we'll have our picks and predictions and, best bets and all that stuff, dual six packs, all that stuff later on in the week. Short week because of Labor Day Monday, but we're here. 301-230-0980. Say hello to Metal Chris when you call in. Be nice, be efficient. Be short, and away we go. On the Team 980, broadcasting live on your radio all throughout the DMV and streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, wrapping up hour number two right here on the Team 980. Good to have you with us. Again, we told you earlier this hour, Kendrick Bourne was expected to work out for the Commanders, waiting word whether or not they will strike a deal as the 49ers made him an offer, but they could not come to terms yesterday when he worked out with them. So we have that. We also have this on special teams. Listen, the Commanders won the game in week two last year because of special teams. Remember Austin Seibert's 7 field goals? Because they ran the ball and they moved the football, they just stunk in the red zone. If you're going to count on that, good luck. First of all, Matt Gay has been uneven, to say the least, in the preseason and even earlier in camp. He was better later in camp than earlier. But to, not that he can't connect on 7 short field goals, but to count on that is, or 6 or 5 or whatever, and we know he struggled 50-plus, do not put this game on the foot of Matt Gay. Do not put this game on the foot of Matt Gay. And also, here's the other thing. Listen, their kickoff coverage, and part of it was, again, Matt Gay, the new rules, not playing all your guys, but we know they gave up the 100-yard kickoff return to start the preseason to Trevion Henderson. I think a 62-yarder to Antonio Gibson. And then another longish return, I want to say against Cincinnati, but it may have been the Baltimore game. I don't know. Everything's kind of rubbing, you know, all together. Here's the problem. Devin Singletary is, you know, one of their primary returners, and they got this guy, Olszewski. Listen, there's nobody there that you fear. Don't miss any tackles. Don't take bad angles like Noah Igbinoghene did against Trevion Henderson in the middle of the field with no support. You cannot get beat. Never mind Matt Gay with field goals. You cannot get beat by something that was a problem all throughout training camp. Something that was that problem. Whether it was because your players weren't playing or not. It does not matter. Okay? Whoever is out there now is presumably the best 46 on game day. So there's no excuses. There are no significant injuries. This is about strategizing. This is about planning. This is about execution. This is not about resting players, Club Quinn, anything like that. This is you make plays on special teams or you don't. You get burnt on special teams or you don't. If you can win a game on special teams, that's great. I will take not getting burnt on special teams, not blowing field goal opportunities that should be made. I'm not talking about a 60-yard attempt. That's not a kick that should be made. I'm talking about anything 50 and under has to be made, period, period, end of story. And you cannot allow the kickoff returns, obviously, that you did specifically in the New England game, but throughout the preseason, period. That is a big part of this game that I promise you nobody on the radio will talk about this week. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to hop in the final hour, away we go. Coming up, we will discuss the rest of the NFL, and we'll get back into the college football story, and I want to get into a little bit of James Wood and how concerning it is with how many strikeouts he's had, all during a final hour of power on a Tuesday on the Team 980 and streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us.